Welcome into the 5 o'clock hour of this Tuesday edition of News on the Hill. I am Brighton McConnell. Thanks so much for taking the time to tune in over 97.9 The Hill or stream us through chapelboro.com. We've got a lot of local news to catch you up on. You are going to want to stay tuned, though, because at 5:30, after we do some local news check-ins, it'll be time for the drawing of our Searching for Summer campaign. Our scavenger hunt ends with a winner that we are going to be sending to a free two-night stay on Wrightsville Beach. Be sure to stay tuned for that here in just a few minutes, but lots of news to catch you up on. We begin with some traffic news in Chapel Hill as a bad crash has led to some traffic delays in Chapel Hill. The good news is that has indeed largely been cleared up since then, but a multi-vehicle crash closed northbound lanes for Fordham Boulevard in Chapel Hill near South Estes Drive for more than an hour. According to the Chapel Hill Fire Department, at least three people injured in that crash and some of them taken to the hospital for further evaluation, and we are awaiting some updates on their status. Also awaiting some updates from Chapel Hill authorities on the cause of this crash, but according to some photos taken from the scene very close to our studio here, very, very dramatic wreckage left, and it took a little while to clear out. And once again, though, the good news is normal traffic patterns have indeed returned to Fordham Boulevard, those northbound lanes being opened back up. Turning to some local government news, we've got just 2 weeks until the Board of Orange County Commissioners has a vacant seat, but as applications closed on Monday night, we now have a final pool for the board to choose a community member from in order to fill that vacancy. Four people submitted their candidacy to take the seat of Commissioner Mark Dorison for District 1. Those people are Penny Rich, Ronnie Dossie, Honor Richards, and Marilyn Carter. The county government will have 60 days to fill that seat with the applicant of the board's choice after Dorison leaves on July 31st. Rich is the person most associated with the county commissioners of that group, as she served on the board for 8 years, having lost re-election in 2020 while serving as the chair. So she was actually on the board just 7 months ago. Now, Dossie currently serves on the Chapel Hill Carrboro City Schools Board of Education, having held a seat there since 2015. Richards is a former president of the Chapel Hill Carrboro chapter of the NAACP and a decorated one at that, while Carter is a state executive committee member for the Orange County Democratic Party, having served as its chair in 2019. Now, the board's selection will fill that District 1 seat, not just through the end of this year, but also through 2022 as well. But since it is a four-year term and it is up for re-election in 2024, there is going to be a special election held for Dorison's seat in 2022 to determine its future past December 2022. Turning to the town of Chapel Hill, they are looking to create more affordable housing and might be doing so with a new apartment complex adjacent to the town's historic Northside neighborhood. The proposed J Street Apartments would clear roughly 7 acres of wooded land to create 48 to 52 affordable rental units, and the town got its first look at the project not that long ago. 97.9 The Hill's Elle Karras has the details.
The applicant, Taft Mills Group, aims to develop a three-story affordable housing complex to serve households earning below 30 to 60% of the area median income. In Chapel Hill, this is near $64,000 a year for a family of four. The apartments will range from 1 to 3 bedroom units and include a community building, playground, and picnic shelter. To create these units, the town of Chapel Hill intends to clear and develop 7.5 acres of wooded land at the Tanyard Branch Trail leading to Umstead Park, approximately 1.9 acres of which are part of the town's Resource Conservation District. At the first concept plan review of the J Street Apartments on June 21st, the town council heard a presentation from the applicant and received a flood of comments and concerns from the public. Some of the most prominent concerns were regarding the potential of increased water runoff into Bolin Creek and increased traffic congestion on Estes and Umstead Drive. Margaret Widener said she's apprehensive about how the project will interact with the existing community and add to what is already a traffic-congested area, especially with only a single access point to the proposed complex.
What concerned me most, however, was that the only point of ingress and egress was going to be J Street. That's too much for a high density development, and this area cannot take that much more development and have only one way in and out.
During its meeting, the Chapel Hill Town Council also took note of two petitions from residents opposing the development, one of which comes from the neighbors of Village West, a townhome community just north of the proposed J Street apartments. Tricia Lester, a Village West resident of 26 years, said while she was excited about the prospect of more affordable housing, she thinks the development would create too many hazards for pedestrians.
The traffic entering and exiting J Street is already a slow-moving game of chicken. Walkers, joggers, bikers, Amazon trucks, trash collection, only one car at a time can go into or out of that entrance, and it narrows as you get further down the road.
Rachel Gray, another Village West resident, said the town needs to work towards home ownership instead of building more apartment complexes. She said Chapel Hill should consider increasing the required percentage of affordable housing for already approved developments, developments like Aura.
I have lived in affordable housing apartments in other U.S. states, and being a low-income resident myself, earning way under the AMI, building more low-income apartments for rent feels like putting a Band-Aid on an issue that needs surgery. Rentals don't increase the quality of life. I would encourage other solutions to be considered, including helping people buy properties to build wealth through ownership and to help give the stability and sense of home and community ownership brings. This is the option I've always wanted.
Multiple residents and council members also expressed concern over the future residents of the site not having easy access to bus routes and public transportation. While the closest bus stops are located on Village Drive, none are directly adjacent to the site. Following the concept plan review in June, a formal development application will be submitted to the town council after its summer hiatus. Once the site plan is finalized, the developers said they hope to submit a conditional zoning application by or before fall of 2021. For 97.9 The Hill, I'm Elle Karras.
And finishing out this segment with some restaurant news in Chapel Hill, Seafood Destiny, which is a Greensboro-based business known for its crab legs, lobster, and shrimp, is planning to open on the corner of Columbia and Franklin Street this year. The space formerly housed Lotsa Pizza, which closed in early 2020 due to the coronavirus pandemic, but now there will be a new business finding a home there, according to the Downtown Chapel Hill Partnership. The owner of Seafood Destiny, Anthony Knotts, said he and his son hope to have the space operational in late 2021. And time now for a look at some sports news from around our area. Talking Carolina football to start it off, as a pair of leaders on the team earned some preseason recognition on Monday and today. Junior quarterback Sam Howell earned a spot on the 80-player watch list for the Maxwell Award, which is presented annually to the most outstanding player in college football. He also earned a spot on the Davey O'Brien National Quarterback Award watch list. It's pretty easy to understand why if you've seen Howell out on the field. Through just two seasons at Carolina, he enters this year tied for the all-time UNC touchdown passing record alongside Darian Durant with 68 passing touchdowns. Howell's 7,227 career passing yards also ranks fifth on the school's career list as well. The watch list for this year's Bednarik Award was also revealed on Monday, with UNC senior linebacker Jeremiah Gemmel among the 90 players selected for that. With his buddy Chad Surratt now in the NFL, Gemmel is expected to be the top linebacker for the Tar Heels defense this season, and he had a pretty good one last year too, compiling 78 tackles and an ACC Linebacker of the Week honor. He also was a team captain and has started all 25 games for Carolina over the last 2 years. Turning to some men's basketball news, the site for this year's CBS Sports Classic has been announced. Carolina and head coach Hubert Davis will head back to Las Vegas and T-Mobile Arena for their non-conference matchup against the UCLA Bruins on December 18th in that showcase that also includes Kentucky and Ohio State. Finally, Carolina Athletics as a whole announced a new partnership with the Brand R Group today, a group licensing program for current student athletes. It's similar to a program launched in April for former athletes, but what it means is that current Tar Heels will now be allowed to benefit from their name, image, and likeness in conjunction while using UNC's official trademarks and logos if they do so through this licensing program. As part of this, they'll be able to have the chance to be marketed in groups of three or more within the sport or six or more across multiple sports and co-branded licensing and marketing opportunities with UNC's intellectual property. That means they will also get into the apparel part as well, which will be run through the Brand R Group if they are indeed in that program. And some folks have been noting through programs like this is how you end up with video games like NCAA football, where the players are branded together with the official school logos. Something to keep an eye on, but very interesting news as the NIL front continues to develop in college sports. We do have some more local news to catch you up on, specifically in college sports, as a lot of aspects are continuing to change now that the NCAA is allowing student athletes to profit from their name, image, and likeness. Among those impacted, local businesses and business owners who can now negotiate deals with student athletes for promotional or commercial activity. 97.9 The Hill's Ben Rappaport has more on how these new NIL regulations affect local businesses and some recent advice given by UNC officials.
Changes in state law and NCAA regulations now allow student athletes to make money off their name, image, and likeness. Following a Supreme Court ruling, these changes went into effect on July 1st. Last week, the Chamber for Greater Chapel Hill Carborough held a webinar to provide guidance for local businesses on how to navigate the new NCAA ruling. UNC Athletic Director Bubba Cunningham said while the lasting impact of monetizing college athletics is not yet concrete, this new era is exciting.
The biggest thing that has changed in the last couple of weeks is we have moved from promotional activity, which is all we've been able to do, promote the game, promote the student, promote the event, to commercial activity allowed by the student athlete themselves, so they can align themselves with individual companies.
As part of the new rules, student athletes can have an agent or representative who finds them marketing opportunities. They can also appear in advertisements for commercial products and make personal appearances to promote businesses. There are, however, restrictions on the way student athletes are allowed to profit. They cannot be paid for their performance on the field, and payment cannot be used to recruit players to the university. Marielle Van Gelder is the UNC Associate Director of Athletics for Compliance. She said compensation for student athletes has to come from work done off the field.
So what we tell our student athletes is the better you play, that will probably enhance the value of your name, image, likeness, but it can't be the sole reason that you're compensated.
Van Gelder said because the regulations around NIL are so new, there are still large gray areas. For example, student athletes cannot use images or logos of their university in promotional information. But if they show up to an event wearing UNC-branded clothing, that's much harder to monitor. Van Gelder said she believes the current flexibility in the rules is an opportunity.
Our student athletes get to engage in activities that no student athlete has ever done before. But there are still NCAA rules that will apply in this space, albeit limited.
One of the concerns about NIL is that there will be an equity issue. Players from higher revenue generating sports like football or men's basketball would have more deals or more profitable promotions than other athletes. Matt Waxkowski is the Director of Athlete and Talent Representation for Tandem Sports and Entertainment. He said it's likely that there will be a disparity between sports, but local businesses can combat that by partnering with teams through group licensing agreements.
If you do something with small groups like that, you're going to end up impacting these kids in a real positive way. They're each going to walk away with a couple thousand dollars. And by the way, if you tie a charitable piece to it, everybody's going to win.
Waxkowski said he believes individual athletes will likely be disappointed by the lack of financial opportunities available to them. He said it is true that big-name players like Sam Howell or Armando Bacot will win, but other athletes without the name attached can win too through creative brand deals. Both Cunningham and Van Gelder said they would be interested in pursuing group licensing deals for all UNC athletes in the future.
It's the right thing. It allows student athletes potentially, access to opportunities. We're not quite there yet, but it's something that certainly I think we'd be interested in pursuing.
NIL regulations will continue to evolve as the Tar Heels set the field in the fall. But UNC has made it clear, It wants its student athletes front and center. For 97.9 The Hill, I'm Ben Rappaport.